The Penn Central collapse directly led to major reforms in bankruptcy law, securities regulation, and corporate governance. Congress passed new disclosure requirements for publicly traded companies. The SEC gained new authority to investigate suspicious accounting practices, and boards of directors faced new legal obligations to actively oversee management rather than passively trust executives. The financial damage from Penn Central's collapse rippled through the economy for years. Shareholders lost approximately $1.8 billion in equity value. Bondholders eventually recovered about 40 cents on the dollar after years of bankruptcy proceedings. Pension funds that had held Penn Central securities as safe. Conservative investments faced shortfalls that affected retirees for decades. But the broader economic impact was even larger. The commercial paper market, the short-term lending market that companies used to cover daily operating expenses, froze completely after Penn Central's failure. Investors realized that even companies with investment-grade ratings could collapse without warning. Access to short-term credit dried up across the economy. The Federal Reserve was forced to intervene, creating emergency lending facilities to keep credit flowing. Economists later estimated that Penn Central's failure contributed to the 1970 recession, which saw unemployment rise from 3.5% to 6% within 12 months. The railroad industry itself was fundamentally reshaped. Penn Central's collapse convinced policymakers that the era of private passenger rail service was over in America. Federal takeover of passenger operations became inevitable, creating the structure that still exists today: private freight, public passenger service. Perhaps most significantly, Penn Central destroyed the assumption that blue-chip corporate bonds were essentially risk-free. Before 1970, pension funds and insurance companies treated bonds from major corporations as nearly equivalent to government securities. After Penn Central, that assumption was gone. Risk management became a central concern for institutional investors in a way it hadn't been before. So why didn't anyone see Penn Central's collapse coming? The answer is that many people did see warning signs, but the incentive structure rewarded looking away. Executives saw problems but believed they could trade their way out through accounting manipulation and diversification. They had personal fortunes tied to Penn Central stock and faced catastrophic losses if they admitted the truth. Board members saw inconsistencies but trusted management because that's what boards did in 1970. Corporate governance, as we understand it today, with independent directors, audit committees, and active oversight, largely didn't exist. Regulators saw red flags but lacked resources and authority to investigate fully. The Interstate Commerce Commission was designed to regulate monopolies, not to catch fraud. Wall Street analysts saw troubling signs but relied on management access for information. Analysts who challenged management too aggressively found themselves frozen out. And investors saw what they wanted to see: a safe, stable railroad company with a century of history and a government-backed quasi-monopoly on transportation. The real mystery isn't why nobody saw it coming. It's why so many people who had pieces of the puzzle chose not to put them together until it was too late. Penn Central collapsed because everyone involved, executives, directors, regulators, analysts, and investors, had reasons to believe everything was fine, right up until the moment it wasn't. And that's the lesson that makes Penn Central's failure relevant more than 50 years later. The same incentive structure that allowed a $3.2 billion fraud to hide in plain sight in 1970 still exists today. The names change, the accounting techniques evolve, the industries shift, but the fundamental dynamic, where everyone involved has a reason not to ask the hard questions until it's too late, remains. Penn Central didn't fail because of one corrupt executive or one accounting trick or one bad merger. It failed because an entire system of checks and balances looked the other way until failure became inevitable. And when the largest bankruptcy in American history finally happened, The only real surprise was that anyone was surprised at all.